This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Welcome to this Insight podcast episode. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host. Glad to be joined with three great brothers here. We're going to be talking about what God is doing to change people's lives. We have Pastor Will Wilson of Goldsby First, and then two members from the church, Ronnie Beller and Joseph Andrews. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to be here.
Good to be here.
Well, Pastor Will, we'll start with you. Could you talk about some of what God's been doing and how he's been moving at your church and congregation?
Yeah, man, it's actually, it's been a very interesting 9 months. So we have seen what I would describe as true revival taking place in our church and community. And we've seen just astronomical growth, really, in those 9 months. We started with, 175, maybe, in attendance and maybe on a little on the decline. Man, we just saw steady growth. And really, after Easter, we saw another pretty major influx and running around 600, 700 now.
Wow.
And really it's not transfer growth. We're seeing people saved, baptized, seeing the unchurched getting plugged in and coming to stepping up, being spiritual leaders of their homes and community, and it's just been a truly amazing journey.
Well, and what amazes me is it's kind of counterintuitive timing to what the world's telling us, that this is a time to shrink back and with all the virus in pandemic. And Will, for those who are unfamiliar, where is the church located, and how did God, I know there's a long story, but how did he bring you there?
Yeah, so it's just south of the river on 35, just south of Norman. I know all the Baptists know where the casino is, so it's right behind. It's right behind Riverwind Casino, just across the river. And the way that I got there was Ronnie Beller. He called me, and he was on the search committee, and said he was from Goldsby Church. And I said, I told him no several times. It made no sense to go there in my mind. But just a few weeks before, I had gone to a luncheon, and a representative from their company was there and had shared what they were doing as a company to pour into the lives of their employees and these men. And I mean, taking guys that you'll hear more about it from them, but just had wrecked their lives, and they give them this chance and pour Christ into them. And so that intrigued me, and he asked if I would meet with him. I told him I'm not interested, but I wanted to meet him. And so I agreed to sit down to lunch for no reason than to meet him, and maybe we could somehow partner with him. And but through that, God began to work on my heart and really just kind of confirmed that this is where we were supposed to move our family. And we jumped in with both feet, and it was an immediate connection between my family and that church family. And God has just moved tremendously, miraculously among us.
So thankful God worked that out.
Yeah.
And just the revival we're going to be talking about. Ronnie, you might describe for our listeners your company and what it's about, and some of what Will was alluding to there with reaching people.
We had a small family business, and we would tell you we believed in God, but we didn't know that God. And so we began to work in the oil field back in the early 90s, and some believers were there and began to pour into us and tell us about the things of God. And then some people in our community began to share with us. And there was three of us boys and a mom and dad. And us three boys, our marriages were all on the rocks. We were about to, they were all about to fall apart. And there was 12 guys at work at that time. And it was total chaos. It was where the drunks hang out. And we were part of that group. And people began to pour into us. And we one by one got in church, one by one got saved, including our parents. And God began to do a transformation on our hearts, and then began to do a transformation on our business. And there were several businesses along the way, that Christian businesses that we began to look at, and they inspired us and they challenged us. And so God's just done an amazing thing. There's about 450 of us today. And
wow.
One of the first prayers my brother prayed, there was 12 of us, and we were going to have to lay off some of those 12. And he said, God, if you'll send work, we'll minister to your men. And God has just opened doors from there. You know, we've never once, since that prayer, have we once laid off a person. You know, God's been faithful on his end. He's sent open doors and contracts and things that we couldn't have ever done. And we just get an opportunity every day just pouring into guys' lives.
If I remember, too, Ronnie, you sort of built in the gospel into your business mission statement. Right. Could you talk about that and how transformative that's been?
Right. You know, several businesses that inspired us, Dick Liddell, that started Rob's Ranch, had a business, and we just looked at the way he ministered through his business, and it just wowed us. Kim Ray, same thing, they had Character First. We looked at that, and so we developed our core training, and we weaved the gospel into our safety training every day, you know, and so those things just inspired us to that we could do things. Habitat for Humanity, you know, how they get homes into people, you know, and we just copied off of those things. We partner with those people, and so God just used those things to help us reach our community and our employees.
It's amazing. Joseph, tell us your story in part in this, if you would share.
You know, I'm the short of it, I think, would be, as it could be long, is, you know, I went through drugs and loss of my family because of drugs, and went to a Grace in the Trenches event in Dibble, Oklahoma, and heard the Word of God, you know, and heard people's lives being changed, you know, and at that moment I decided, you know, if God could do that for them, he could do it for me. And Ronnie and all of his brothers were there, you know, at that time, and we began going to Goldsby Church. This is probably 2005, I believe 2005. And so shortly after that, I went to work at B&H, and you know, just amazing what a company can do when it's based around God, you know. And through the last 16 years or so, you know, it's just been amazing to see, you know, the love that the company pours out to the employees, you know, and what it's done to transform my life. And so last year I got to be a part of the ministry team here at B&H, and I was so blessed by that, you know, and it's an example of what God can do in our lives if we allow him to, you know, and as a company, that's exactly what they do. So many men inside the company that have influenced me over the years, and I'm so grateful for that and for the company and what it stands for. So, yeah, just it's great. And then I get to be a part of Goldsby Church and all that's going on down there. Grace in the Trenches events around, you know, that B&H is highly involved in. And so it's just a nonstop ministry. And, you know, each day we get to have Bible studies at B&H. You know, it's something, it's just unexplainable how you can connect with men on a level, personal, you know, a personal level, that you just don't touch with them, you know, if you're not a company that has God at the base of it. You just don't dig that deep, I don't think. And so for me, it's just been life altering, you know, to know that the company loves me the way they do, loves my family. And then, to know that's from Christ, that's the love of Christ in them. And so it's powerful to be able to pass that on to the guys and love on them and know that they love you back, you know, and it's a great family. It's great to be a part of.
What a great testimony. You know, Hans Stilbeck talks about embracing brokenness as opportunity for the gospel. Sometimes the world thinks, well, these people have made a mess of life and they're just too far gone, but the gospel reaches into that. What does that do to your heart, Will, as a pastor and minister of the gospel, to see this and be part of this?
Yeah, I mean, it truly is. It truly is amazing. And the thing about it is, it's not just words. It truly is a part of the culture of the company there. But also, you know, it's hard for a spirit like that not to seep over and get on the people that are even around it. And you know, one of the things when I first got here, I'd gone with them to their Tulsa shop, and I was reading their mission statement of this company. And as I'm looking at it, I see Jesus referenced three times in the mission statement of this secular company. And Ronnie's brother, Donnie, came up to me and he said, "What do you think of that?" And I said, is this real? And he started laughing. He said, "You know, when we first came up with it, you know, legal told us you can't put that in your mission statement." And I think maybe Jesus had been mentioned once originally, and when legal told him that, they mentioned him two more times, you know. And but, man, God has blessed that. And, I mean, it's produced, the company has helped to produce men of God. And we as a church, being there in Goldsby, it's a small community. And so we get to see a lot of these guys whose lives have been transformed be a part of our church's life. And they bring with them this understanding of the grace of God in their own lives and what that does. And God, I'm telling you, man, that reaches people right where they're at. It does. It embraces, like you said, it embraces brokenness and true opportunity for the gospel.
When you think of when Jesus said, "He who's been forgiven much loves much," the intensity of these transformed lives. And, you know, this is sort of a risky deal, but, you know, taking a chance on people and seeing what God can do with that. Can you, Ronnie or Joseph, share any stories where Yep. you took a risk, stepped out, and Yep. God blessed it?
I think where God brought this to light, I took a trip to Israel, and I was traveling down the Jordan Valley, and off to our left was Samaria. It was in a mountain range, and I thought back at the scripture where Jesus must needs go by the way of Samaria for the one woman at the well. He climbed a mountain range, you know, for one person, and it showed me the importance of one, you know. And so we have some that we've got friends that come out and went to work, end back up in prison, end back up in, you know, some have OD'd, you know, some have went back to their old lifestyle. But give us one is worth the journey. And so we've got all kinds of stories that Joseph's got way more than I do. But, you know, one of my favorite stories is one of the guys that came to work there. He'd been in drugs all his life. He and his wife had both ran drugs. And he wanted to come to work there. And a guy told him, "So listen, you can't do drugs and come to work here." So he's telling him, "You got to get off drugs." Well, just so happened the guy was pulling out of her yard one night at 3 o'clock in the morning. Me and Donnie's come to work, and he's pulling out of her yard, and a carload of guys. And so we chase them down. We don't know who they are, what they're doing, but so we get on to them, and not knowing in the backseat of this car is this guy that's been on drugs, and his wife's been on drugs, and he's going home to tell his wife they're getting out of drugs. And that was September 17, 2010, mm-hmm. So they walk out of drugs that night. They just leave that lifestyle behind, and it's been 10 years later, and I was getting ready to baptize him the other day, and I said, what happened? Well, tell me your story. And he said, "That car you pulled over that night," he said, "I was in the back seat of that thing, and then I didn't tell you that, but you guys hired me later on." And 10 years later, he come to the Lord, and his family, the whole family, there was three boys that had been in trouble, and they come to the faith in the Lord the other day. So we not only see a man's life transformed, a family's life transformed, and there's just story after story like that. And so, you know, some fail, some fall back into, go back to the pig pen, but give us one. It's worth the journey.
It's awesome. Could we talk, Joseph, about the role that prayer and Bible study have played, just the power of the Word of God play as you experienced yourself in transformation, but also what you're seeing in others?
You know, I'm a firm believer in being intimate with God, you know, and just spending time with Him every single day. And that's the base of our Bible studies every morning, is just being able to get in there arm to arm, just lock arms with our brothers and be able to spend time in God's Word, you know. And in that time, we get to encourage guys, do this, you know, you do this with God by yourself as well. And in those times, we get to talk about hardships and struggles we're dealing with in life. And we open up in prayer, and there's tears shed, and there's laughing and loving, you know. But in that, you know, I see growth in myself. I get to be a part of that. And it's I know that if there's growth in me, and I'm pretty stubborn and hard-headed that these two hadn't told you, but I get to see growth in myself, and so I know that it's growth for them as well. And so as we open up every morning in prayer to God, it's just a surreal feeling to be able to be in that moment inside a company in today's day and age and be able to experience that, you know. And the guys love it. They do, and they come. And when they can't make it a day or so, you know, we reach out to them, and we try to do our best to love on them and invite them, you know, keep them coming back. And, you know, and it's something when you have the owners of the company and the preacher from Goldsby, you know, that comes to – they drive across the state every Monday morning to be able to spend time with these guys. And so there's nothing that says you're important to me like seeing you face-to-face when you're 2 hours away and you got to get up at 3 a.m. to get there, you know. And that solidifies that for them. They know right then in that moment that these guys care about them unconditionally. There's love there that they can't deny. So and it's just powerful. I'm glad to be able to be a part of it.
Well, I'm thinking about Oklahoma – as a state with the substance abuse and addiction, but the harvest that this could be in seeing people be changed by Jesus and get to the other side of it. Will, as a pastor, what would your encouragement be to other pastors as far as looking at the community and seeing what's there and trying to lean into it?
Yeah. Man, I think it's got to be, you know, I know one of the reasons sometimes maybe we don't go after the broken is, I think even pastors, we can be, I don't think it's intentional, and I don't think it's a self-righteousness. I just think there's a fear of, I don't know how to relate to these people, or, you know, I don't want to say the wrong thing. And I would just encourage them to love. These people want love just like you want love. They want hope just like you want hope. And to be able to go to them and just receive them where they are and encourage them where they are and work on that relationship and let them know you love them is I think that's a huge deal. I think before you can reach into their soul, man, you've got to meet their humanity. Mm-hmm. And their humanity wants to be loved. And awesome.
Ronnie, anything you'd add to what Will's saying there?
Yeah, you know, they've been judged by the church and by the world all their life, and they want to know that that we look at them with love and grace, and we don't see them like they've been looked at all their life. You know, we don't hold the past against them, and like the Lord doesn't hold our past against us. You know, it's been forgiven. So I think, and we were in a Bible study this morning, Joseph and I and a group of guys that they're struggling, and just teach them about God's grace and teach them to learn to walk in that grace. You know, I think they want to beat themselves up for their mistakes or their way of thinking, and their past has been paid for, and helping them to understand that and just to walk in that reality.
Yeah. We're seeing a pattern across the U.S. and including here in Oklahoma about a normalization of things like marijuana. And, you know, we have a whole generation coming up. It's kind of normal. It's there. Having talked to people that have had life sufferings from things like that, what would you want, Joseph, you know, these young people, these kids growing up to know about that versus life in Christ?
Yeah. You know, I'm a huge believer in the fact that we search this world sometimes in search of the love of Christ. In saying that, I think we try to find it in relationships and drugs and alcohol. You know, so as a young man, I decided that I would find acceptance and be able to be the cool kid, you know, by being able to do those things. The alcohol, you know, just drinking a little here and partying a little, and then the marijuana, and then the meth, you know, and all the things that come along with that, the destruction, you know, tore my family apart. You know, but it began with me not feeling like I was accepted. And so In saying that, a cousin of mine, Ronnie's nephew, I got to go to school with him. We were two different ends of the spectrum. He had seen his dad go through this, and he had seen what the destruction that it had caused. And so he knew what a life in Christ was about because that's where he was at. And I didn't know it, but I yearned for what he had at that time. But I filled it with drugs and alcohol and partying. And so in saying that, there were two different ends of the spectrum there, but we both desired that love and that respect and that acceptance of Christ. And I searched the world for quite a few more years, you know, up to 24 or so, 25 years old maybe. And the Path of Destruction behind me, and Brad did a great job, you know, and seeing that in him as I got older and accepted Christ as my Savior, I began to look back on that, and I seen what it did in his life and how strong of a man he was because it was Christ within. So my challenge to the kids today would be, don't worry about acceptance of this world. It's just not what it's about. And focus your eyes on Jesus and that relationship that he has. And I promise you that his love is sufficient for anything, any desires of this world. So that would be my challenge to the kids. You know, the marijuana and the stuff going around, we can make them normal, and it's just not healthy. It's just not healthy, and it is okaying a lifestyle of destruction. And I'm an example of that. And I stand firm in the belief that it is a gateway drug and will lead you right back there. So you can't be any happier, or as I would call it sometimes, I get a little strung out on Jesus because it's good stuff. It's good stuff.
That's a good way. Thanks for sharing that testimony. Mm-hmm. You know, thinking about discipleship and some of the keys, has it been accountability or just the power of the word or consistency? What have you noticed, Ronnie or Will, the keys on discipling people who are coming to the other side of this?
I think it is accountability. One of the first guys we ministered to, he came out and he was headed to Missouri. It was a kid I grew up with, and he was strung out on meth. He and his wife were living in the back seat of back of a truck with their two kids, and they were headed to Missouri, running away from their problems. And he came in and we drug tested him. He failed his first drug test. And we said, listen, we'll put you through a program, and we're going to drug test you every month. And he's been with us. He's a deacon in our church today, and God has radically changed his life. But it's accountability. Hey, we're going to hold you accountable because we love you, and God's got better for you. And so I think setting good, clear goals, Scripture says without vision, people perish. And I think a lot of the people in this situation, they don't have a God vision for their life, you know. And so we want to plant that, give them a God vision for their life, and help them begin to work toward that vision, you know. And so, and hold them accountable along the way, you know, every day, you know, whether we see them messing up, we're gonna drug test you because we love you, and we're gonna keep you accountable. But we hit him 17 months in a row with the drug test. When he gives his testimony, he tells that. And when they know it's coming, but you know what we did earlier in life, we enabled, and we'd let them, you know, they get away with something, and we'd say, okay, we'll work through that. And when we don't hold them accountable, they're going to use strike one, strike two, and, you know, so we've got to stand firm. And today when they flunk a drug test, a lot of times we just say, you're gone for 7 months, you're gone for a year, and let's come back and talk later. And so they got to know that we stand firm in what we believe and what we stand for. And so in love, we'll hold them accountable.
Yeah. I want to add to something he's saying, though, with this. You know, there's a lot of companies, man. You know, it's strike one and you're out, you know, on something like that. And the other day, we're making new parking areas at the church, and there's a guy on the front end loader, and he's moving stuff around. And Donnie came in to me, and he said, "Hey, man, you need to reach out to this guy." You know, and he works B&H, but he had failed a drug test. Just did something stupid, fell off the wagon, did whatever. But they didn't kick him out on the street. They put him at the church and put him in a big machine and told him to start spreading gravel. But went over and grabbed him and said, "Hey, man, let's go to lunch." And Ronnie and Donnie met us for lunch, and we got to use that as an opportunity to hold him accountable, get in his face, but also with love say, "Man, what, this isn't your answer," you know, and get to point him to Christ. And, you know, Sunday morning we look up and there he is, man, second row, got a suit jacket on, and he's got life. And he's not back at work right now, but he'll get back there. But it's about loving them even through making another mistake and doing those kinds of things. And, you know, one of my favorite things about what they do at B&H, whether you get a job or not with them, if you get an interview, their priority is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. You will hear the gospel and be given an opportunity to respond to it. And I just think God has blessed that. And I think it's the same way in our churches. If we will be the hands and feet of Christ and not get so caught up in programs and our own little world, but instead realize these four walls are nothing more than a meeting place for the army of God to get together and get our marching orders for the other 6 days of the week, God will bless those efforts. And he'll give the harvest if the laborers will get out there and work the fields.
Amen. Amen. You know, Will, I've heard you talk about when you see someone's life change and they come and the music starts and the worship, there's an intensity there to the worship. What does that do to your heart as the shepherd of that congregation? And what's your prayer that God could do with something like that?
Yeah, man. So my prayer is always, I mean, it's been, you know, my prayer is always, and it's my private prayer, you know, that I always just pray each and every week. And then I'll pray it as I open the service as well. But man, I just want the Holy Spirit to tabernacle in the place. I want him there. And we invite him there, you know, audibly. You know, we want you here. And I think, one, that puts it on the hearts and minds of the people that the Holy Spirit is in this place. And I think when you do that, when you invite the Holy Spirit in, and there is the spirit of anticipation, I think sometimes we doubt God's going to show up, and that quenches the spirit. But when we are anticipating his arrival and we're looking forward to his arrival, it's going to add an intensity to everything that's going on in that service. We've certainly witnessed it, and we see it every week. And I think that spirit is growing, and it's starting to be pervasive and invasive in our community.
Praise God.
Yeah, praise God. Praise God.
It's awesome. Well, we sure appreciate y'all coming on the podcast today and sharing the testimony. Wanted to ask for any prayer requests as we come to the end. Will talked about some here, but Ronnie, how could we pray for the company and these efforts and your congregation that you're a member of?
I think we can look at it on an individual level and a corporate level. We people have impacted us as a company. Just Christian leadership has impacted us, and we want to impact other Christian leadership. You know, and Donnie met with a company here last year and just shared her story. You know, here's how we've been impacted by the Lord has changed us and what we're doing. And that company this year came to him and said, listen, we set $1 million aside this year for ministry inside our company alone. So I think we've got to think outside what Will said, outside the four walls. We've got to, how do we minister, you know, in our business, in our everyday walk? How do we do that? And so we want to connect on a personal level with those people at work, but also in a level with the Christian businesses. How do we do this thing together? And we see that so many of our churches, so many of our businesses, we're on islands and we're not linked together, you know. We're much stronger together than we are apart. So we just want to link up with Christian businesses and encourage one another like we've been encouraged and impact the world we live in. You know, everything we make is wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to perish, but the people we deal with every day, I mean, their souls are eternal. So let us keep the main thing the main thing. And sometimes we get caught up in business and forget what the main thing is. So we just want to encourage our fellow believer.
Good word. Joseph, any thoughts, or as we come to the end here, any prayer requests for the folks listening out there?
For our youth, you know, I think that's got to be close to our hearts, you know, and the future here. So just want to pray for them, you know, that they'd have the courage to step out there and say, hey, Jesus is king of my life, and I don't need these things in my life. And you know, on top of that, you know, being ex-construction, you know, what it does, the ministry that it is inside of itself, you know, it just, I just pray that God continues to bless it the way he always does and take care of it the way he always does and provide the way he always does, you know. And so those things are, for me, in my mind, as I see what God's done, they're the certains. But, you know, just to lift the company up in prayer and the owners and their families, you know, just to God to continue to take care of them, so.
Well, that's awesome. Well, we'd love to do some follow-up in the months ahead and a story about revival and these changed lives. It's been awesome. Pastor Will Wilson, thank you for setting this up, and Joseph and Ronnie for sharing those powerful testimonies. Go to baptistmessenger.com for more, and we'll have continued coverage on this. And thanks for listening to this episode. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com or your preferred podcast platform. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.